Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And lock in for the hottest 2 hours in radio with your host, Kevin Walsh.
Why the hell is Brian Daboll better than Nick Sirianni? So please someone tell me. Jalen Hurts, all this, people like, I don't know if he can throw the football. Sirianni's been winning for 2 years and made the playoffs both seasons, and one of them he was an MVP candidate. And Brian Daboll's better? Why? Why? For what? Sirianni's not a coach of the year finalist. Because the guy was 7-2 and finished 9-6-1. Stop this crap. Sirianni outcoached Shanahan and Daboll. Easy. Smooth. No problems about it.
And Donnie Wrightside.
The easiest thing to do with football fans is give them hope. They need a sliver and they're all on board. Who thought this through from an NFL perspective on how you build hype into an all-star game? This was it? I don't know if I'm going to take any Eagles like player props outside of touchdowns because when they're up 30-0 at the half, I can't take it anymore. Like, that's my new angle.
On Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And here we go on a Friday. Set you up in style here. Hour number one. It's Donnie Kevin here, and we're ready to let it rip. A multitude of topics to get to. Last, I guess, edition of the week. It's always nice. K-Double, we ready for today?
I mean, what else could we be? It's a Friday. Yeah. Donnie, you got to be ready.
We are ready. And starting some topics right away here. One of my favorite ones that comes out. Oh, yeah, Russell Wilson tried to get everybody fired in Seattle so he could stay and everybody should go. And now he's in Denver and he had his own office and own coaches, chefs, and valets. And Big Russ, we always have that picture of him being a nice guy. Maybe not so a nice guy behind the scenes, I guess, right?
Yeah, here's my hot take on this. People are going to take this and try and spin it against Russell Wilson when all of us agreed Seattle should have fired everybody because they were wasting Russell Wilson. I have no problem with any of this news. They were wasting Russell Wilson in Seattle.
But were they right, though, I guess?
No!
Were they right to move on, knowing that he was the issue on why they weren't doing good? How about that?
No, because they obviously... No, it's not like they went on some big run here, right? They snuck in, the Lions gave him help, right? You could argue that they got rid of Russ at the right time. Again, we'll find out. We got to, Russ still has a lot to prove next year. Either it'll definitively mean he's washed or, it's going to be a one-year down season. Seattle, with the draft pick they got, they're not going to have any seller's remorse. However, you can't all of a sudden start to rewrite history. Like, actually, it made sense that at Russell Wilson's peak, they thought it always made sense to run on 1st and 10.
Yes, and on like 3rd and 3, run it as well. Like, I guess we'll punt from that midfield at this point since we didn't get it. There was always crazy. What was the... I believe one of those, like the crescendo, I should say, was the Seattle-Dallas playoff game where it's like, all right, this has to stop now. You have one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. If you literally let him drop back every play, you blow Dallas off the field. But instead, you'd rather run the football. So I did get a kick out of that, and certainly there's a lot of arguments to be had. And who knows how long, Pete Carroll's actually going to be in Seattle. But now it's Denver's issue here. New head coach moving in there, new regime. And it looks like the head coach isn't putting up with any nonsense at this point. Like, oh, he's got his own team? Yeah, well, cool. I can't wait to meet him, basically. Yeah, that team, they just left the building, and I'm going to have Russ one-on-one at this point, so we'll see where that factors in. If we're keeping it, Kevin, with quarterbacks, and not yet pro quarterbacks, I know you have takes on this. Anthony Richardson, quarterback out of Florida. Talent, upside, sky high. Will he turn into be a legitimate quarterback in the NFL? That's a coin flip here. But we're looking at some of the betting markets, which we are a betting show, opened up around 10,000. Last week was 50-1. Yesterday, 15-1. Today, plus 750. He said, well, what are you even talking about? That's to be the number one overall draft pick in the NFL come draft day. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here with this? And why is there steam right now?
Well, I think it's probably... now, the books maybe are not upset about this movement. I guess it all depends where this closes and what ends up being the riskiest proposition for them. But you just shouldn't hang a quarterback that has any kind of, you know, true round one buzz at 100-1. Now, unless the folks in the room say, no, this is why we do it, because there's AR buzz and this kind of helps get people talking about betting the draft. We know what we're doing here. Trust us, he's not going first. Then I would hear you out. But, yeah, a guy of Anthony Richardson's, you know, skill set is going to get there. I think at the minimum what it does, and I saw some people say, oh, AR is probably a second-round pick. Yeah, you've not been paying attention. If you, and I'm talking about months ago, like I can't believe that people thought that Anthony Richardson and what he brought to the table was not going to come off of the board in the first round. How we were so all openly talking about the number of quarterback needy teams in the league and thought we would escape the opening round with just three quarterbacks picked inside the top 10, and then we'd go 20-plus picks of no quarterback selected is silly. I think what is interesting is I don't think we have a real good read on the order that these quarterbacks are going to come off of the board. It, you know, Bryce is still your favorite to be the first one that gets selected here. Everything else feels very up in the air. Like C.J. Stroud all of a sudden getting picked at 14th or 4th feels very live.
It's interesting, too, because you're coming off an NFL season that, well, jury's going to be out on Justin Fields, but that new prototype quarterback, which feeds right into, boy, if he can just be even anywhere near Jalen Hurts, he's got more mobility, he's faster. If we could just hone his skills, look what we can do. It's always the upside that intrigues, not the guy that was, hey, he's a five-year starter in college. Yeah, well, why didn't he come out earlier? Because he's obviously not that good. You look at it a little bit differently. What could you mold this guy into? It'll be fun to see because when he runs a 40, it's going to be impressive. We'll be right back. It's a Friday right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo, Friday afternoon, having some fun right here on the grid. If you want to get involved in the show, easy. Come on in, people. 844-843-6879. The question here is, what type of movement are we going to get in the quarterback market? Sure, we'll find out and see. But I do think it's interesting because the draft market also starts to heat up here. Where these quarterbacks end up falling, Will Levis, a Bryce Young, a C.J. Stroud, and now a Anthony Richardson sighting here. And I'll tell you, it's only going to get better, Kevin, because one of my favorite times of the year is you have hundreds and hundreds of snaps that you can pop the tape on and be like, this quarterback can play? I don't know if he can play or not. Or you can throw all of that out and say, man, I just saw that guy in person throwing on air and running in shorts. That's my guy. I mean, forget about you can't complete a pass or you can't read a defense. Did you just see his workout on air, K-Dub? Move him up the list.
Yeah, I'm you know, to defend them a bit, I'm sure there's some elements when you see someone in person, things could get a little better. I wonder if the NFL's bothered by the fact, though, that the combine is now just for the lower-level guys and that pro days is kind of what really makes the difference, especially at the quarterback position. When was the last time it felt like we had a hyped quarterback combine? Wentz and Goff, I feel like, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And especially, you look at this year's class, Ohio State's going to have 1,000 pro days. Bama has 1,000 pro days. You know what I mean? Florida. Like, these are big schools. We're talking about three SEC schools here, these of the four quarterbacks, and the other being Ohio State, where, you know, is Anthony Richardson even going to run a 40? And why, I mean, to cut that out quickly, though.
Wouldn't that be, like, the best?
Yeah, but Donnie, no. Yeah, I was just going to answer that. But I'm pretty sure both Lamar and Malik Willis never ran 40s. Like, why would that be? Wouldn't that be the thing that gets them, like, drafted even higher if they actually did run the 40s?
Did Lamar not run a 40? Like, I don't even remember, to be honest. I feel like he would have run a 40 and be like, oh, my God, I don't care if he even has a right arm. We're just going to draft him in the first round.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing. And if I'm wrong, forgive me. And they, I feel pretty confident at minimum they at least did not run it at the combine.
Yeah.
But you would think that Anthony Richardson would be like, listen, you want me to, I'll run a 40 at any point in time. You just give me a call. Like, I'm running that 40 and we can lock and be into the top 10 right here, right now.
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite. Like, I'm not throwing for you, but I'll run for you. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I'm not running because if I run a bad number, that's basically what I'm trying to move up with. You know I'm fast. And you're like, well, hold on now. You're in a 4.6. I thought you were a lot faster than that, right? So it's
that was the Dalvin Cook thing that always blew my mind. Is Dalvin Cook had a bad 40.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, listen, then the 40-yard dash has to go. Like, if you're breaking down Dalvin Cook and you go, I'm not sure if this guy's explosive, you got to listen, man. I'm sorry he couldn't figure out how to run a 40-yard dash. Watch every FSU game and look at him 30 yards downfield away from everybody. He's fast.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite seasons of all time. Look, I'm not a Florida State fan, but Jimbo Fisher probably would send him half his paycheck. Can you play this week on Dalvin? Hey, coach, I got two torn hamstrings, 175 yards on like 11 carries the next week. It never made any sense. I couldn't even figure out he was that type of athlete and that good there. But it is interesting to see how some of these guys will shy away from that. But I think if you're Anthony Richardson, your agent sits you down and goes, hey, by the way, we're not asking you to play in an actual football game. We know you can run fast. We're going to train you to run even a little bit faster, and you're going to throw a football. You got a strong arm. We'll do it like in our own area at Florida with the wide receivers you're comfortable with in your own environment, and that's how you make a few extra $1 million for Anthony Richardson. Now, if you're coming out in the draft and you're supposed to be the number one overall pick, it's almost like, look, I'm a competitor. I'll go out there and throw against anybody. And Nate goes, hey, buddy. You don't have to. You can only actually hurt yourself right now. I got you going one or two at worst, whether you throw or not. So I'm a competitor, huh? You want to be a competitor in 4-5? Because for some reason you couldn't hit that 8-yard slant twice? And somebody goes, hey, I don't think that guy could be a quarterback instead of looking at my actual game tape. Those are the differences here. But the high risers, like an Anthony Richardson, he should do everything because I only think it helps him, to be honest.
With that, I mean, he just needs to do a carbon copy of what Malik Willis did. But here's the crazy thing. Malik Willis, like, broke the pro day scale and then proceeded to get drafted in the third round. So do pro days not matter anymore? Are now people just watching the tape, like, which is what everybody was asking for? What happened there? How'd that all go so wrong?
I don't know. I guess, the Ron Jaworski opinions don't carry as much weight anymore. I'm like, hey, look, man. Ron, I need you to go to this quarterback's pro day. All right, I'll be on it for you. What'd you think about it? I mean, I thought I saw Joe Montana out there. Doesn't matter who it was. He loves every pro day, so always get a kick out of that. Maybe people are looking at going, well, I like his arm strength, but that's not an NFL throw. I mean, Kyle Bowler got drafted to the Baltimore Ravens like 20 years ago because he stood on one knee and threw a ball 50 yards. Oh, that's a quarterback right there. It's a quarterback. Like, instead, forget about his game tape. Oh, my God, did you see his arm strength? Yeah, we'll make him a quarterback. That doesn't work. I mean, it takes everything. Chalk talk, interviews, how you hold yourself, how you play in, like, big games, how you play in bad football games. I mean, they got the FBI on you in college. Like, we're going to find out more about you than even your mom knows. And if it turns out good, you make yourself pretty penny.
But here is the thing that I continue to harp on, though. And I know I'm hard on Will Levis. Well, guess what? That's not going to change at all. The Will Levis people, when you hear that, they go, look, man, I mean, this kid's got, he checks every box from a tools perspective. Well, is he bigger than Anthony Richardson? Well, no. Oh, he has a stronger arm than Anthony Richardson? No. Oh, well, is he like a similar athlete? Oh, not even on the same planet. Oh, interesting. So, someone then explained to me why Will Levis is getting drafted over Anthony Richardson by any team?
I mean, gamer. Are we throwing out gamer tabs right now?
No, I mean, listen.
Will Levis couldn't even beat out, Sean Clifford? Which Will Levis are we talking about here?
Yeah, come on now. I mean, Will Levis, Kentucky great, evidently.
Let's
stop it.
Moves look, intangibles, it's all there for us. Now, you want to talk real intangibles? You want to talk money right now? Diana Russini puts out the report. Derek Carr seeking $35 million per year. No, I look at that now and go, that's a steal. That's a steal right there. That's a steal right there. Because now you put things in perspective, right? And you say to yourself, if you had the scale, right? And the scale starts at Patrick Mahomes, with, let's just say, at $50 million a year. Throw Aaron Rodgers in there as well. Like, that's the scale. So when you look at a guy, like, we'll start with Daniel Jones. Like, to me, like, when I think about that, I go, well, then what's your Daniel Jones worth? I go, like, $25 million a year. Perfect, right? Nowhere near Aaron Rodgers. Nowhere near Patrick Mahomes. What he gives you, he's about midway. He's like a mid-level quarterback, right? I love to see this. Like, when the numbers start to filter through, now it's fun to break it down. But that's the report, $35 million. So if I ask you this question, right, would you line up quarterbacks? The Giants, and I hope they don't listen. I know somebody's maybe in the background is listening for the Giants right now. Don't as a NFC East guy, just concentrate on Daniel Jones wrapping that up for 45 a year. Because if you're the Giants and you go, hey, look, we have two choices to make. You can pay Daniel Jones $45 million. He's not going to sign for anything less. Or get Derek Carr for $35 million. And you have the same thing, Kevin. You're not offering up any more draft compensation or anything. This is bananas. These reports are bananas right now.
No, look, here's the deal. That is either the worst news the Giants front office could get or the best news. Because either they are clueless or they're going to get Daniel Jones. Because here's the thing. I continue to harp on this. I actually don't care. The Daniel Jones price, to me, is the second item that I want to see whenever the deal breaks. It's the years, to me, that matters. Like, the idea that they're going to lock in Daniel Jones for 5 years, quite frankly, to me, is bizarre. The money is what's obviously made this all banana. Come off of the board, a 4 to 5 year deal at $35 million. And Daniel Jones and that new agency picks up the phone and goes, psh, you see that? You see that deal over there? Up the ante, you know that means we're going to be worth at least $40 million. What do you mean? Down to 27, brother. Stop this.
I mean, we are now at the point where we're going to start offering quarterbacks actual stakes in the football team because that's how much money they're going to start to make here. It's amazing here. Come on back with us. It's a Friday on the grid. No better place to be.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here with your host, Donnie Wrightside, co-host Kevin Walsh, ready to let it rip today, getting into some NFL news. Daniel Jeremiah said some NFL teams have Florida's Anthony Richardson ranked as the second best quarterback in the draft. And also, same Daniel Jeremiah mocked the Florida quarterback to the Lions at 18. Oh, it's going to be a juicy day, isn't it? What do we think about that? Detroit Lions moving on from Goff? Or no, they keep Goff and they put this guy in the background for a year.
Background for a year. It's exactly what they should do. Look, I don't think maybe some point we'll know definitively how valuable it is to sit a quarterback for a year. But I know this. The Lions are set up perfectly to do it. The ease of these comparisons of like the Alex Smith Mahomes handoff, right? And just in terms of smoothness. Because nobody's calling for Goff's job. But if you're honest with yourself, is Goff really the long-term option here in Detroit?
No.
And a lot of people have, you know, started to shift that now. Oh, we're being hard on Goff. Goff's great. You know, I saw today some quarterback ranks and Goff, the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. Stop this right now. That's not true. That's not. This is a really great opportunity for the Lions with multiple draft picks and one of them really high off of the board. If they don't take one of these high quarterbacks, I think that would be a whiff for this organization. I really do.
Yeah, they got some weapons, too. I mean, who knows who they can go out and get, but you just the Jameson Williams pick, who, again, most people are like, I don't know what's that about. You know, I didn't do much of that. No kidding. Like, basically coming off an ACL where it was a throwaway season. Like, if they hit on that pick, Like, it's almost like a free first rounder coming back to you next year. That would be incredible stuff. By the way, quick update here also, because some of these mocks will come through, and I guess Daniel Jeremiah is making his moves around ESPN or I guess the NFL Network. Jordan Addison, he's picking for the Texans to go in the first round at their 12th overall pick, which I believe is their second pick of the first round. Let me ask you a quick question on this. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles got a top 10 pick. Most people predict they're probably going edge rusher and corner. That's what the Eagles do. That's what they value. So if there's a really good player there, you lose Bradbury, you pick up a corner, it does make some sense. But thinking Jordan Addison, I don't know if they would do it, but there is a glaring hole in the Eagles. So like that number three wideout, Quez Watkins. Mm. If Addison came was like your slot guy, like I know it would be a luxury pick and also would insulate just in case you can't keep, I guess, Devonta Smith, who they probably will still end up working out going long term. It's just interesting to start to see because we were in such that regular season mode, and now you can start to have fun to see some of these mock drafts come up and sort of say, oh, this makes sense for this team or this makes sense for another team and see where these teams draft. It's actually fun to see it come across the board now where we're getting closer to guys actually getting drafted.
Oh, no, it's great. I always think it's a ton of fun. Now, to your Jordan Addison thing specifically, if you're the Eagles and you bring in a player like that, you, I think, would probably be viewed as the unanimous best pass catcher room in football if you made that kind of a move, right?
Yes.
And there's value in that. Look, that's something that the Cowboys did. It's not apples to apples, but when they took CeeDee Lamb,
yeah,
nobody thought wide receiver was a need for that football team.
Correct.
The Eagles needed wide receiver in that draft, right? That was something the Eagles actually would have drafted. And, you know, it obviously he was not available on the board when the Eagles were selecting. The idea for the Eagles, if they get on the clock and they're like, listen, man, we've graded every player. There's an A-plus on the board in Jordan Addison and some guys that we've got at, you know, high Bs. Maybe we just take our best guy. There is some validity to that. However, you then have to be honest with yourself. You are not going to pay three top-flight wide receivers. You can't do it. One of them's already paid, and that's A.J. Brown. Well, the other one's not going to have to be paid for a while, and that's the guy you're drafting right there. If you draft Jordan Addison, you're letting everybody know Devonta Smith, who you traded up to get, Heisman Trophy winner, people love.
And play really well.
Correct, Donnie. You're letting people know Devonta Smith is going to be moved on from eventually from this team. I think that would be a mistake.
But see also, because this can be included in every team, and this is where, you know, GM says the hard part for them to fight. Boy, we really need a cornerback. It would be great to get one. Well, my board, I have this guy 16, we're picking 10. I have Addison at 8, we're picking 10, he's still on the board. The first round draft pick for me never, ever, ever, ever should go to a need on any organization. I mean, outside of like, you could say, argue quarterback. Like, let's just, you know, you drafted, Jalen Hurts is on the board and saying, hey, by the way, we have Richardson really high. Like, of course, that doesn't make any sense. But any other position, like if you have a left tackle that's ranked high and you just have a decent left tackle in like year 4, you're still supposed to go out and get that tackle and be like, okay, we'll put him at guard to see if it works out and whoever doesn't, or we have a nice, you know, ammunition to move him to right tackle, left guard, right guard. He'll fit his way in, and that's the way you do things. But it is interesting to see like those necessity needs, because if you're trying to build a winner, there's a couple different ways you can do it. I mean, granted, get the most talent you can across the board. But it's almost like the Chiefs go, we're really going to invest on offense. Offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback. We'll mix in the running back here or there, but on defense, let's spend money on one or two defensive linemen and then just try to coach everybody up, and it works. Now, granted, you do have Patrick Mahomes, but I'm trying to relate that to the Eagles. The Eagles could go out in that draft, they have two first-round draft picks, get an Addison, let's just say, and say, hey, he's the best guy on the board, what do you want me to do? And we'll just run wild on offense and let Jalen Hurts just be an absolute monster out there with how many things he can do. There is a couple different ways you can do it, but I just always hate the, you know, the Marcus Smith for the Philadelphia Eagles a couple years ago. Like, hey, look, we needed a pass rusher. This guy was like 30th on our board, you know, behind of who we were going to pick, but we just had to go because we needed it. That never works.
Yeah, ideally, these things can mesh. If they're close, you can start to prioritize fit. Again, I think I use that Cowboys example all the time, though, because you couldn't have found a single person that mocked CeeDee Lamb to the Cowboys. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that CeeDee Lamb was, you know, often off the board. And a lot of those mock drafts and ended up making his way there. But there, it's like, look, we still evaluated this player. We have to take him. Like, there's no we can't not draft this guy. I think what's interesting when you look at the Eagles, though, and a roster that we praised obviously a lot all season long heading into the Super Bowl, the way that defense performed, you have to ask yourself, you know, is that – did Jonathan Gannon have some holes in his game? Is Mahomes just that good? Is it the field? Or is that roster – specifically, is the defensive side of the football not as good as we thought? Is that the group that was benefiting from the lighter schedule and a softer opposing quarterback schedule? And if the answer to that is yes, Donnie, well, which areas specifically do we have to hone in on? You know, you talk about the Chiefs and their approach on the defensive side of the ball. You know, the thing is, Chris Jones is probably a top five defensive lineman in football. Donald, Bosa, Parsons, and, you know, Jones arguably fills right in. The Eagles don't have that. The Eagles went at it with depth this year, which was great. They spent a high draft choice on Jordan Davis, you know, the veteran star still coming back in Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. Hassan Reddick was great, but Hassan Reddick was not brought in with this idea of, oh, wow, the Eagles finally got their man. They hit on a guy, which is awesome, but the Eagles don't have that elite, perennial, all-pro caliber type of, really, you could argue, defensive player. That they don't have a, maybe Darius Slay, it depends where you kind of view him in the full corner landscape. The Eagles were deep and solid everywhere, but the Eagles don't have five stars, if you will, in the way you would almost do it like a recruiting ranking. They don't have that as much on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because, I mean, like, the Javon Hargrave was absolutely sensational this year. You know, Fletcher Cox now long in the tooth, Josh Sweat. You do have a lot of firepower that you can throw out where when all four of those moving parts work together, they dominate, right? But when you need that, hey, it's third and four, I got to make a play, you just center in and be like, I need this guy to make a play, and it's Chris Jones. Because it's interesting the way, now Andy Reid has always done that, even back in Philadelphia. They would pay for corner and defensive end and let the rest fill in. Get a lot of young, you know, impressive defensive tackles, but that's the way they used to get busy. Linebacker position, what's the minimum salary? Yeah, sign three guys up with minimum salary, and one of them might work out. If they don't, it's no big deal because nobody runs the football anymore. Is their thought process behind that there. Just kind of interesting the way there's a few different ways you can set your football team up as opposed is saying, let's just be good everywhere, because that's hard to do, where it's like, let's take our firepower on offense, get a couple defensive guys that can step up big, because also, if your offense is really good, your defense is probably just going to be built on, we just need to rush the passer a couple times in the fourth quarter and seal this thing, as opposed to, hey, you know what, our offense stinks, we keep putting our defense in bad situations. That's not what the Chiefs do.
No. And look, the Chiefs also, though, maybe have hit on some cheap options. Their cornerback room was really young in the postseason, and but they delivered, right? We talked about that throughout a couple of spots, especially against Cincinnati. They made the necessary plays to get that team a victory in the AFC Championship game. So at some point, we know, probably this offseason, the Eagles will be paying their quarterback, so they can't afford misses. You know, the Eagles don't have a – Howie Roseman has earned a lot of praise over the past few seasons. But, you know, Howie's not necessarily always walked up to that podium and got this right.
No.
Howie's not always had off seasons where everything goes right, which is, you know, and that's the tricky stuff. It's why we don't look at the Eagles and be like, oh, yeah, they should be back. You don't know if a team's going to get back. There's a lot of teams that should be back. Hell, I thought the Rams entered this season was still one of the most talented rosters in football.
Yeah,
and by the way, elbow here, and next thing you know, Bobby Wagner's getting released.
There's I did not read this article, but I think I absolutely know what it was saying. It's like the woe is me, feel bad for, you know, McVay, which was ridiculous. But we'll talk about it a little bit here coming up next. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo, back here on a Friday, by the way. I mean, they say Friday's payday out in these streets. life was good for DRS. You know, nice little bounce back from the night before where getting beat by Hawks and things didn't go your way. Los Angeles Lakers. These are the best, too, K-Dub, too, because I had to include the 109.5 game in. Right around 4:30, I'm like, okay, I have my, like, straight bets in that I already took that I like. Telling all the people, you know, Lakers, liked them all day long. That was in. A couple Laker props they were in. But I'm like, you know what? Let me tie this in because I'd feel stupid coming on there. I'm like, oh, my God, did you see that game stayed under? Like, I felt like, Kevin, I needed a stake in it, just to be honest. So I went out, and even the Santa Clara game, which I told her, I said, look, man, it looks like it's a chance for a million points. And it was high. It was like 86.5, I want to say, was their team total. So I took it. Put that in a parlay, actually threw in the Lakers' money line. I think Anthony Davis, yes, was the 11.5. It was plus 750. 25 bucks paid me back, I don't know, over 200 bucks, which was nice. But I fell asleep, but I saw the 24-22 at the break, and I said, oh, this is interesting. I said to myself, like, okay, 24-22, it's under 50 points, it's 8 under. But then I'm like doing the math going, man, I scored like 55 points in the second half total. Like, they're going to get this over. I'm like, this is, like, no way would I have been able to watch that and just be cheering for bricks. Because it's not even like, give me a minute or two of no scoring. It's like, give me 5 minutes with like 2 points. Because that's basically what I'm going to need. But it just, everything worked out in my favor, including, like, I needed to get a piece of that under 109. And it felt good when it cashed.
So, listen, that was kind of the thing with yesterday. I could tell that if you were going to bet that game, it was going to be a bet towards the under. That was the way you really did see that whole thing develop.
The eyeball, and, yes.
Yeah, look, you had to trust it there. Overall, it was a good day of action. I got myself involved with an under in that Laker Warrior game, and that worked out nicely. You know, the unders you talk about, the eye frame, right? Does it ultimately feel good coming off the hand? And that was one where it did. And it came in. I when I'm on an under, it's probably going to be on a higher total, where at least I have a little more cushion and breathing room. The Zags game, by the way, that first half over, because you were saying, look, try and get in, get out with that look ahead spot. It was a real sweat down the stretch there for any side bettors in that basketball game. But even same for the total. The total pushed on the closing number. That thing kept climbing up. But the first half, it was like a tip shot in with 4 seconds left for anybody that was involved with that game. Did ultimately probably got maybe a push, but probably got themselves an over.
Yeah, they're fun ones here. And also, a lot of the stuff you put that, you know, handicapping radar on and you say, this doesn't look right. Like the 109.5, your first thing is to go, now hold on, I don't care who's playing offense. You're going to be in it the whole way, and you probably get one of those games, like, you know, as I said, 36-35 at the break going, I can't even believe this is 1-9, like it's free money. But you knew better than that. You saw that number, like, this doesn't even make sense. But then again, when you look at bookmakers, they didn't guess the number. Like, hey, man, these two teams are slow. How about 109? You're like, hey, that's ridiculous here. No, it stayed under. In a couple games that we were bringing up yesterday, in those 120 ranges, there was a lot of 50 to 44 type games, a few of them, yesterday on the card, which is always hard to fathom, but get ready for it there. And that was fun to see it play out. Now, Saturday, keep in mind again, time moves fast. Like, the NFL season, it's week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're post-Super Bowl now, looking forward to free agency and the draft. The NBA, boy, it seems like such a long season. Down to around 20 games for some teams. College basketball, we're already down the full amount by the time we hit Saturday, Kevin, with the conferences. So you'll get that one last splash on Saturday, then it disappears after that. Like, oh, there's plenty of games left, plenty of vibes. You're already getting to the nitty-gritty where teams are getting eliminated as early as next Monday in college basketball.
It's a beautiful time of year.
It is.
It is a beautiful time of year. What did you say? A-Sun bats leadoff, right?
Yeah, the A-Sun bats leadoff Monday, gets a pop, and by the end of the week, most of the mid-majors are in action, and that's fantastic. Like, mid-major stuff, the reason why it means a little bit more, right? You said, well, hold on now. I love to watch the Power Fives and the ACC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 get after it. Sure we do. But understand this. Half those teams that lose in round one go, well, I don't care. I'm still in. I'm an at-large bid. What's the big deal here? The smaller conferences, the group of fives and the mid-majors, 26 wins, 3 losses. You better win your conference championship because you're not going to be an at-large.
Can I, you know, we haven't had that conversation a ton. And you know, in our business, you have to have your strong stances. It's what I go back and forth on. And I think a lot of it has to do with probably being an Iona alum because It very much so impacts my school. The notion of it, though, Donnie, is a team like, you know, FAU. We were talking about them the other night, Conference USA. By far and away the best in the conference. They have been all year. Spent a portion of this season, actually, as a ranked basketball team. There's a world, though, where Conference USA doesn't send too, right? Do you like, dislike, indifferent on the idea that if, you know, that if this team slips up in one of their games, all of a sudden, instead, we might send North Texas to the tournament and FAU's left at home, despite the fact that they were so much better all year long?
Yeah, I don't like. I'm telling you right now, I never understood. Now, I understand the business model of it, right? If you're a conference, you get to the, you know, conference championships, you're selling those rights to ESPN, and, you know, you might be able to get a gate at whatever neutral site you're at, and it's a lot more fun because there's spontaneousness to it. But I always used to get a kick out of it and say that the truest form used to be, Kevin, the Ivy League. They didn't have a conference tournament for the longest time. They said, no. Well, this team just went like 16-2 during our regular season. They're our best team. Not who's going to get hot and win three games back-to-back-to-back, right? And it makes sense. Imagine if you said the automatic bid just goes to the team that won your conference, which means that every conference would get the best team in. Now, again, at-large bids would come after that, but you're right. You're not bid-stealing. Like, hold on. Like, it used to be like back in the day. It was when John Morant was at, was it Morehead State? What am I?
Murray State.
Sorry. Yep, it was the VMs. Murray State, and they'd go up against Belmont. And you'd have legitimate NBA town on both sides, and you'd go to yourself, wow, like, you know, Murray State's going to win this game, but Belmont's not going to make the playoff or get into the March Madness with, like, two losses through 30 games. Like, sometimes it's not fair, and I think it should go that route, but it is what it is. This is what we're built on, and all the excitement, and I guess, see, hey, anybody gets a chance at it, let's get after it.
I think where I maybe land on, so I think ultimately it's a part of the game, it's what it is, and I'm not sure I can complain too much because it's not like we don't all know the score. It's in an interesting way, though, the importance of these tournaments is the importance of these tournaments is weighed a lot heavier for the smaller conferences, and I almost feel like that's kind of where the issue comes in. Like, we should have an ACC tournament, a Big 12 tournament there, right? One last stance for those big schools on the bubble to make a case. Or, you know, a little mini tournament between an awesome conference, right, like the Big 12, Donnie, to see, you know, who can kind of reign supreme here on a neutral site and warm it up. Because all in all, it impacts seeding. And if a team goes on a wild run, you know, a Mizzou in the SEC, it'll lock them in. Or UNC in the ACC, right? It'll knock them off the bubble and they'll officially be into the tournament. I get it. I think there is something different about Charleston, who's ran roughshod over the Colonial for, you know, the majority of this season. If they drop a second game to Hofstra, next thing you know, they're out of the mix. But in another sense as well, I appreciate that that's Hofstra's chance to get into the tournament, and this is what you work towards all year long. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, if you did it the one way, where there'd be no more bid stealers, like, you'd still have that excitement, right? If you say, okay, win your conference regular season, you are in. There's another bid up for grabs if you get to the, let's just say, let's go, for instance, we'll just use a Power 5 conference, even though it has no bearing, it doesn't work this way. Like, Duke wins the regular season in the ACC. Duke then goes to the championship in the ACC and wins that. Well, you can't take two bids down as one team, so it just would go to the team that played Duke in the ACC final. They would get that automatic bid. There's ways you can do it where it's a little bit fair because you don't feel left out. Like, how is that possible? This team was the best team, and they just couldn't do back-to-back-to-back victories where maybe somebody twisted their ankle, got a bad call, just didn't play well, and they're out, even though they were the most dominant team in that non-Power 5 grouping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to have as many teams get in as we do, and it still is not exactly perfect. And I guess the counter would be to then just drop the auto bid nature altogether, and people would say, look, it we can kind of let this just play out over the course of a season. Auto bids, I do get it, and I appreciate it. It hurts my school. Iona would be solid though. Like if every conference needed to be represented, mm-hmm. yeah, yes. the Gales would be fine. Like we'd be in right now. Yes. There's nothing that's going to happen over these final two games that's going to see Ryder jump us in all the metrics of importance. But that's the game, and that's kind of what we plan. Now all of a sudden,
it's such an odd game. It doesn't even make sense. You know, like the honest spirit of competition, it makes zero sense whatsoever. Like you could roll through your league, go unbeaten, and just play one game where one team got hot and knocked you out. Like legitimately, Iona could be 32-1 and be like, hey, they just don't deserve that automatic bid. They just don't deserve it.
Yeah, the MAC was terrible this year. Yes. They had two step-up games. They lost them both by double digits. And it's like,
correct.
All right. But, here's the other thing recently. I see Patino in the news. And I always have to catch myself that one of the most famous coaches in college basketball, I mean, probably history, certainly active coaches in college basketball, is coaching at Iona College. Yeah. If they're doing the is he going to leave for a major
Georgetown.
Job?
Georgetown. He could redo Georgetown. They would take him, and he would rebuild it, right, he would like it.
I actually struggle to listen to some of the commentary out there. But anybody that thinks Rick Pitino is leaving Iona because he's done some massive success job and has earned that, just paid no attention to Iona before Rick Pitino got there. Rick Pitino has objectively been a failure. He has objectively been a failure at Iona. That's not harsh. I would like to believe that Rick Pitino would tell you that himself. Rick Pitino was supposed to get there to win a tournament game. Rick Pitino has missed the tournament in his window more so than Tim Clouse did, who he picked up the pieces for. That's just the truth of it all.
You were supposed to get like, okay, well, Iona's now going to get legitimate first-round talent that transfers out of another university. Like, hey, this guy was the fifth best-ranked player at Kentucky. Didn't work out with Cal, where he goes, Iona. Like, you get those mixed-fit toys and blow any MAC team out of the water, and you're supposed to be able to maybe make some hay in tournament play. But we'll see how it turns out. Maybe it's this year. Maybe Iona does get a dub. I mean, does that bring a tear to your eye? Like, Iona goes to the tournament, wins a game? How about just the play-in game?
No, playing doesn't.
Yes,
not
it does.
Hanging a banner for
dubs.
No, I don't know.
We'll go over there to what's the place called? What's home court for Iona?
Beachmont? Oh, the Hines Athletic Center?
Yeah, there you go. You go over to the Hines, and you're part of that. Say, hey, look at that, man. We knocked off Norfolk State in Dayton. That's it, Dayton. I keep forgetting that, in Dayton. No, we're not counting that? Moving on to the first round. It's got to be a legitimate pod victory. Go out to North Carolina, take down a win.
Can I tell you the main reason why I can't respect those? Because the 16-16 game. I can't give you credit because you beat a 16 seed. That's not a tournament win. Come on now. We can't be labeling that a tournament victory, DRS.
Coaches are re-upping at school's gone. I got you guys to the tournament, won a game. Wow. Goes down in the program as an NCAA victory now in a tournament. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Another quick segment here before we head into hour number two on a Friday right here on the grid. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No. Back at it. Final segment here of hour number one. If I taught anybody correctly here, get out of these streets, man. Don't stay in these streets long. You're bound to get, worked over pretty good. But as we look forward to some weekend action, having some fun, there is a big college basketball card on Saturday. And again, this is different from all these other weeks. With Donnie, every week is huge in Saturday. I get it. There's a lot of games. But Kevin, you're jockeying for position. There are massive, teams that need victories. And I know we brought it up on the early show today, saying, you know what? UNC, you really need this one. Virginia, it would be nice if you got it, but UNC needs it, and that's sometimes a different angle to try to fire away on.
It's such an important game, though. As I always think back to this. I was watching the opening game of the college basketball season was Baylor playing just some horrendous team. Shout out to the BMOC. He said they were going to beat it by 60. They basically did.
And which game?
We're talking about UNC, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
There's a reason for this. Right. And so I was watching the game, and Baylor's playing, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, whoever it is, right?
Yeah.
And I'm watching the broadcast there. And on the call is like a former player. And he's like, look, I got to be honest with you. I'll give you my first take of the season. Like, that UNC team's not that good. Like, they were a 9 seed. They got hot. Like, I actually don't see them as, you know, that good of a team. And I'm like, man, that is just all-time level sour grapes. Because they eliminated Baylor. You know, so I thought it was so funny. And then I look at this UNC team, and I can't stop. I'm like, oh, man, was he right? Was that UNC team fraudulent? Got hot at the right time? I cannot believe that that group, Donnie, went to the final, the national championship, with the whole team back, and kind of stinks.
Yeah. So like, it's hard to go backwards in college basketball. Like, once you're really good, everybody comes back with the same coach in a big university. So just carry the tide. Like, we're not asking you to be number one wire to wire. But when you're saying, like, hey, they don't even have a good win this year and they probably won't make the tournament, that's really hard to swallow at this point if you're rooting for Carolina. It is what it is. Hour number two is coming up next. If you want to get your phone calls in, you can. It's 844-843-6879. It's MoneyLock.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.